And welcome to today's Talk of the Rock. I'm your host this week, Jared Griffin, and it's the month of March, which means that it's time for the annual Choose Respect March. It's part of a statewide effort to end the epidemic of domestic and sexual violence. But Kodiak is, and a few other communities are keeping it alive. So I'm joined in the studio by some local professionals and advocates to talk about the march and domestic violence awareness in Kodiak. And this is, of course, not an easy subject to talk about, or perhaps not easy for some listeners to listen to, but we will be discussing the significance of the issue. More importantly, we might be getting into some resources that our listeners and community can access for help. So if you or someone you know is experiencing or affected by domestic violence, there's help. You can call Alaska's Care Line, 877-266-4357. There's the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. And LME, what is the local number?
The Kodiak Crisis Line is 907-486-3625.
Okay. I was right. I forgot to ask you to confirm it. It's free. It's confidential. It can connect you to emergency crisis and intervention resources. So joining me in the studio today to talk about the Choose Respect March and other things going on in Kodiak, we have LME Tiller, the Outreach Coordinator for the Kodiak Women's Resource and, oh my gosh,
Crisis Center.
I almost said counseling center.
Research.
Crisis Center. And Danielle Butts, who is the Family Services Coordinator for the KWRCC. So
for CANA.
Oh, for CANA. Oh, my gosh. KWRCC and CANA. That's right. Yeah. Kodiak Area Native Association. Wow, we're off to a great start. It's spring break. That's my excuse. Yeah. It's spring break. So let's just get started off with the march. That's the big thing that's coming up soon. So tell us about the origin and the mission of the Choose Respect March.
Yeah, so we know that while domestic and sexual violence are a problem all over the world and all over America, we know that Alaska, unfortunately, has higher rates than most of the United States. We see more situations where more people are being hurt by domestic and sexual violence. One of the statistics that always blows my mind is that according to the 2021 Alaska Victimization Survey, 48% of women in Alaska have experienced physical domestic violence in their lifetime. And when you start including emotional abuse and you start including coercive control, that number bumps up to almost 70%, which is horrible and kind of mind-boggling. Like, so no matter where you are in Alaska, if you're in a room with more than one woman, you're probably around someone who's experienced that kind of violence. And so the Choose Respect March started out as a statewide initiative to kind of stand up for respect, to stand up for safety for people and freedom from fear, and to stand against domestic and sexual violence, to let folks know, like, hey, nope, we actually don't think that's okay. We don't think it's all right to hurt your family, to hurt the people that you say you love, whether that's physical or emotional violence. We're not okay with it, because we're not.
Because we're not. How do you define respect in the context of the march?
Yeah. You go.
So for me, I mean, I know respect is a little bit different for everybody, but for me, I feel like we're talking about kind of giving people and acknowledging that people have dignity and value as a human being. That, you know, everyone has a right to certain things, has, you know, those American freedoms that we talk about all the time. Like, everyone has the right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And so respect to me is acknowledging that that's true for myself and for the people around me. No matter kind of what else might be going on, what we might disagree about, what we might, you know, that. So for me, respect is acknowledging that everyone has that.
Yeah. And I feel like to respect is broader than just like respecting others, but learning to respect ourselves and what that looks like. I think sometimes we can be especially hard critics on ourselves, but understanding how to like respect, love, and care for ourselves, and know the respect that we deserve as well is a huge part of that.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times too, you know, when I'm having this conversation with different people, a lot of times someone will bring up the idea like, oh, well, you know, respect needs to be earned. It's not just given. And I'm like, yeah, if by respect, what you mean is that I'm going to value this person higher than right. everyone else, if I'm spelling like special esteem for them, then yes, that's one thing. But I think what we see, unfortunately, is that there are so many of us who aren't even getting that kind of baseline human dignity respect. And so that's what we're really talking about, the kind of respect that we just deserve because we're people, right. not because we think we're specialer than someone else, but because we're humans.
Yeah. Specialer. Yes. It's a new word.
Shakespeare made up words. I can do
that's
it too.
Right. And I've seen you have this, like social media campaign. Is it that who do you respect or who inspires respect?
Mm-hmm. Or how do you feel respected?
Yeah.
There's another one. Yeah.
So we're running this campaign for 3 weeks. And last week, our kind of prompt, our topic was, you know, who's someone that you respect and why? And we had some really beautiful responses. And this week we're asking folks to share, you know, like when do you feel respected? What can someone else do that makes you feel respected? And we've already gotten a handful of really lovely responses to that
They're
as well.
They're really inspiring. They really are.
They just show the different value, like the different degrees of which you can get respect. And like some can be just really small, like when somebody makes eye contact when I'm talking to them, or some are bigger, like respecting my boundaries and listening to like when I need support. It just shows that there's this huge spectrum of what we can get as people and respect from others.
Yeah. Well, and I think the number of responses that we get that are just about like, I feel respected when people actually listen to me when they ask me something and care about my response. And I'm just like, oh, that should always be how people respond. Like, oh.
Right.
And there was one very simple, I respect myself.
Yeah.
Yesterday or a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I think there were a few where somebody said, I respect myself. One was like, I'm not a narcissist. I'm like, no, there's nothing wrong with like respecting yourself. That's great.
Exactly.
Like, I love that you shared that. I'm really glad.
Yeah. To be able to see that you also deserve that respect, that you also have dignity, that you have value. Like, that is harder than it should be for a lot of people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this march has been organized annually for the past 10 years. It's been several years.
It's been a while.
And you've been involved in it before. How do you, how have you seen its impact on people in the community who have participated in the march themselves?
Right. Honestly, it's interesting because I've been working at KWRCC for 5 years. And the first year I was in the outreach position, we were getting ready to do this march, and we were all excited, and we were trying to figure it all out. And then COVID came, and we had to shut it down, like, the week before. Mm-hmm. And then we've been kind of doing, you know, various, like, online something, versions of something. And so last year was the first year I actually was able to participate in a march for the Choose Respect campaign. And it was just really – it was lovely to see all the different people who showed up and kind of why they were there. And to see, as you know, as folks drove by or as we passed by, like to see their reactions and like their faces lighting up and being like, oh yeah, no, that does matter.
Yeah.
And it was great to see like there was some people who brought their little kids and to be like, yes, let's teach our kids from when they're little that we care about people.
Yeah. And I mean, like, there's men and women that come, and like, it's just a community issue. It's not like a one person issue. It's for everybody to attend and join.
And I think just some of the conversations that it sparked, at least for me, with people that I know who know what I do for my job, thinking about respect and about how do we treat people and how do we want to be treated and how can we get that kind of treatment that we think we deserve. It's been really, really interesting.
So how can you just talk briefly about what's the process of organizing a march? The word march has it's got some heavy connotations to it, you know, the association of marching leading to radical social change, but then there's also marching just for something a little more personal and intimate too.
Yeah.
So what is that process of organizing a march that's not, you know, picket signs and
right.
flames and torches and things? But, which I imagine might be a lot easier to do.
Get everybody riled up.
Well, I feel like, sorry,
no,
like it comes from, like you just said, like get people riled up and angry. Like this comes from a place of like caring, and sometimes other marches come from a point of anger or upset or frustration, which is understandable for those, whatever cause that might be. But this is just coming from a point of like, we want respect for everybody in our community. Like we all want to work together. It is a personal thing, but it is also like, if we ever do want to end domestic violence and sexual violence, this is a community issue, and prevention is a huge part of that.
Yeah. And I think too, like, you know, when you think about the amount of violence that people that we care about are experiencing, when you think about how that hurts people, like you do get angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also know that like me getting angry and wanting to inflict more violence is not in fact
not
effective for stopping anything that I don't want to happen. And so I think it's been really great to see kind of how we take those feelings and we channel them into like, okay, well, how can we care more about people? Mm-hmm. How can we use that kind of angry energy to turn it around, and to say, you know what, like we're done being angry.
Right.
We're done fighting. Like let's do something better.
Even the choice of words of like choosing respect rather than ending violence. Like we're choosing a positive message rather than like we're going to fight this and we're going to be upset and angry. Like it is upsetting. You're right.
Yeah.
But like we're choosing a positive message to share with the community.
Exactly.
So how do you take that message and that positive energy? How do you let it resonate after the march?
It's a great question. well, I think a lot of ways. Personally, like I do spend a lot of time kind of thinking about like, you know, how do I slow myself down from just reacting to situations? How do I practice like regulating myself and so I can respond to things intentionally and not just out of whatever emotion I'm feeling? But also I think one thing that's really helpful is learning how to build safer communities around me. And one thing I would definitely recommend to everybody is getting some bystander intervention training. And we can provide that for you. We actually have a new program that we're kind of rolling out around the community. It's called Training Active Bystanders, or TAB. And it's teaching people, like, you know, when you recognize something that looks unsafe in your community, when you see, like, oh, there's some people and there's some tension there, and I'm afraid that it's going to escalate into something violent, how can I safely intervene and stop that violence from happening in the moment, break that tension in the moment, give everyone a chance to kind of cool down and make better decisions? And how can I do that without putting myself in danger or escalating that violence and making things worse? And we're actually going to have a workshop.
Despite your good intentions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a workshop on April 17th, and we'll make sure to get the word out about that when it gets a little bit closer. But yeah, I think, you know, not just choosing to be kinder and more respectful myself, but choosing, you know, how to help other people be safer around me.
Mm-hmm. Is this a training just for adults? What's the age range?
This one is for adults at this point. Mm-hmm. So we would love to be able to expand it to younger people, because I know that our kids need this too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm teaching a class for Kodiak College, and I'm teaching it for high schoolers taking it for college credit, and it's Introduction to Civic Engagement. Mm. So if I could just this little selfish question then. So how was your involvement in the march, what you do at CANA, what you do at KBDRECC? How has that influenced your views on community engagement, on civic engagement?
Yeah, that's great.
It's a big one.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think, you know, we look at our community, and like Kodiak is a good community, But there still are a lot of problems and a lot of things that aren't good. And we know that, like, big sweeping changes actually don't usually come from someone at the top in charge deciding they should be changed. I mean, they can decide that, and that's great, but it's not usually that effective. But really big sweeping, long-lasting changes happen when lots of people make small differences in their actions. When lots of people decide, you know what, like, I'm not going to say that that's okay that you did that, or I'm not going to just stand here and watch you fight with that person, or I'm not going to just stand here and pretend I didn't notice that there's maybe something scary going on at home with these people. They say, I'm going to say something, even if it's just a little something, I'm just going to do a little something. Like, when lots of people make those little changes, that's when our whole culture starts to shift. That's when people realize, like, oh, the people around me don't think it's okay that I'm responding with violence to these situations. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should do something differently. That's when the people who are being hurt realize, oh, the community's not okay with that.
Yeah. Right.
I can get help. I don't have to put up with this. And so when we see those kind of grassroots movements, when we see that, yeah, enough people are making a small change, it ripples out and it makes big changes.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, like, you know, people have power.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think, too, when you see, like, movements and stuff, it's hard to make sure it's, like, completely intersectional, that everybody's getting included. It's hard to work around people's lives. I mean, this march, we tried to coordinate it around a lunchtime. We're working with the high school to, like, get high school involvement. But there's still a lot of people that can't, like, be a part of it due to work schedules or due to just life differences.
Mobility issues.
Yeah. And so I think, at least, like, promoting it through social media, we're, like, encouraging more people to participate in whatever way they're able to participate, and try to, like, make it as accessible of a civic engagement as we can. You know, it's not just, like, this one thing that you have to be able to show up for.
Yeah.
And then knowing that, like, we're spreading this message that, yes, like Elmi's saying, like, making those daily changes to make,
make
our community, make our community a safer place. Yeah. We're also partnering too with the villages to coordinate marches in each community. Well, so we have Yuzinki, Old Harbor, Akiak, and Shinnyak are participating in a Choose Respect march as well. I think Akiak is happening this week. They wanted to do it during the week of Aleutic Week as well. Okay. So they're doing activities in their communities to spread that awareness as well, and we're trying to, like, engage all of the communities on the island.
Yeah. It's really, like, it's really inspiring to me to see that, like, oh, it's not just a handful of people in town. This is our whole island is caring about this and is standing up about this.
Yeah.
And you also are doing the Gather and Grow is coming back.
Yes. You want to talk about that, Dan?
Sure. Yeah. So Elmi and I lead a group called Gather and Grow, and it's an art-based, creative-based kind of support group, but more just like we work through things. It's a space to heal. It's a space to talk to people. We work on boundaries and affirmations and self-growth, and also just how to have healthy relationships. It's through the activities are through an organization called A Window Between Worlds, which is very just healing art. It's not about the thing you create. It's about the process of which you're creating and, like, what comes up and what feelings come up during that process. And it's just been a really, like, good group. We've hosted it twice and different people throughout, and everybody's been really engaged and enjoyed the activities. I feel like some people were able to open up about things and let some guards down and just talk about stuff. We provide dinner as well, just so that people don't have to worry about dinner that night.
Yep.
We're going to do it this second time around, or third time around, I guess. It's going to be May 15th through June 12th on Wednesdays at 418 Hillside, which is the building next to the KWRCC. It's the KWRCC
it's our
office
building.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll be 5:30 to 7:30.
Yeah.
And you don't have to come to all of them. You could just pop into one, and we have all the supplies. We have a lot of fun, nice art supplies that you get to take home with you at the end. And it's just a really great group.
Yeah. It's nice. Like, I was a little worried about it at first because I'm like, oh, I'm not really like a visual arts kind of person. I'm not good at art. And I've realized that does not matter even a little bit. And I've been able to just enjoy that creating process and and letting the art like kind of help me say some things that maybe I didn't know how to say in words yet. So it's been really like, it's been powerful for me, myself, just as a person.
Oh yeah.
But it's been really amazing to kind of see people come together and heal together and help each other.
Yeah.
And,
so,
Elmi, you and I think have talked about this before, but these events to me seem like they are, I don't know if I want to say stigma free, but stigma like dismantling kinds.
Yes.
You know, you can come to these events and, I don't know, talk about that. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there's the, but you know, stigma prevents a lot of people from using resources.
Yeah. I think a lot of times people are afraid to get help because they don't want people to know what's been going on with them. Mm-hmm. And one of the nice things about this group is like, we're not going to sit around in a circle and talk about all of our trauma. No one's going to assume that if you come, you definitely have experienced this or that kind of violence. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. You can share whatever you want to share. That's up to you. And no one at any point is going to assume that there's something wrong with you because of the things that have happened to you.
Right.
We've all had things happen to us, and those aren't our fault.
Yeah. I mean, and we focus a lot on like, on any kind of relationship. It doesn't, I mean, like we all have had relationships, friend relationships, family relationships that maybe had some issues or troubles, and like we want to work on bettering that or work on healing from something, even if it wasn't like necessarily a domestic violence situation. We all have little things here and there to just kind of talk about or just think about. Mm-hmm. You don't have to share anything when you come.
Yeah.
You can just sit there and look at me the whole time.
You just want to sit in the corner and color, you just go ahead and do that. If you just want to come for the dinner, go ahead.
Yep.
Don't say that too loud.
She bakes really good cookies. Elmi does. So.
But. We have a few minutes left, so let's just go ahead and talk about some of the other resources. Danielle, can you talk about Cano, resources for women, for children?
Yeah. Yeah, so CANA, we actually have two programs. One is called Tribal Victim Services, and the other one's Family Violence Prevention. Very similar in ways to how KWRCC can help, but we do a little balance between the two. We help people get on their feet after hard times. Tribal Victim Services specifically is for anybody that's experienced domestic violence, sexual violence, or stalking harassment in their lifetime. It could be a man, woman, anybody. And they don't have to be a beneficiary. It's beneficiaries and non-beneficiaries that qualify for our program. You don't have to have reported the crime to receive services. It's a very we meet you where you are kind of thing to help you out. We have some financial assistance, transportation assistance, and then just case management work. And then family violence prevention is very similar. We also offer supports to foster families and foster children as well to just kind of prevent. And then on that program end, we do a lot of outreach and education as well. And that's that prevention piece that's really important. Mm-hmm. But where KWRCC does a lot of like especially crisis situations, we do a little more long-term assistance.
Okay.
And we partner very closely with our clients and with the work we do.
It's been a really, really nice partnership.
Yeah. Great, great staff over at KWRCC.
And you deal, like Danielle said, more on the crisis,
a lot of
emergency.
Yeah, we have our emergency safe housing at the shelter, and again, that's available to people of any gender that need a safe place to be. If folks are experiencing domestic or sexual violence, and we also provide a lot of that case management and kind of the long term support. A lot of our work is focused more on the kind of front end of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago, I had on Jill Wallace and Thea Falcone about with the Kodiak Area Mentoring Program and Kodiak Reentry, what they're doing. And one thing that's come up is just the in terms of like lack of resources, it's the burden of case management. Like there's just so many cases and not enough managers.
Yep. That is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And it is like the process of getting resources is complicated and lots of steps mm-hmm. and lots of paperwork. And like, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of time. And so like, it's great that we've got case managers that can help people navigate these systems.
Right.
We definitely need more of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's already hard enough if you're at a baseline level of just like functioning. But if you're in a crisis situation or you're struggling with mental health issues or you're just having a really hard time, it just becomes even more of a burden. So having that support to help through that paperwork and system is really beneficial.
And just having someone that you can call who will know who else you can call to get these different resources is a big deal. Like, yeah. We've definitely got people who call KWRCC because they're just like, I need help with such and such. And we're like, great. Here's three people you can try.
Yeah.
That's great. We got, maybe about a minute and a half left. So let's go over the details for the march once more.
So the march is going to be on Wednesday, March 27th. We're going to start registration at noon at the auditorium, at the foyer there, just in front of the auditorium. We're hoping to, have a speaker or two, hopefully somebody besides just me, but it might be just me and that's fine too.
Depends on the weather.
And then we'll just do a short march, just kind of around the block there. But hoping to get everybody through it before their lunch break is over.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to also just give a quick shout out. We've got KWRCC and Canna are sponsoring this event, but also we've been working very closely with Shunack and the KIBSD, the school district, and the Alaska State Troopers and Kodiak Police Department.
Public health.
Yes. To put this together, it takes a lot of people doing a lot of work to make this happen. And so I just wanted to say thank you to all of those agencies and all the people that have been putting this together with us. Wednesday, March 27th at noon at the auditorium, we'll start.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming on Talk of the Rock, Danielle and Elamy. We usually have KWRCC, and we have Canna on a lot, and I know that our listeners really appreciate all the information that your organizations keep. We know it's there, but we need to be reminded of it,
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So thanks again for listening, and again, that's the march. That was March 27th, lunchtime.
Yep,
lunchtime.
Lunchtime over here at the auditorium parking lot. If you or someone you know is experiencing or affected by domestic violence, you can call Alaska's Caroline at 877-266-4357. The National Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-7233. Or you can call locally, 907-486-3625. It's free, confidential, and they will help connect you to emergency crisis and intervention resources, or the names of three more people that all have what you need. So thanks again for listening.